All right. So as we get started today, the one question I want you to have in your mind is, how does your faith grow? Have you ever thought about it? Like you're no longer where you were. And so how is it that your faith has grown? And that's not asking necessarily, you know, how do you get more information or how do you get more, how did you learn more information about God, as much as what makes you trust in God more? What's brought you to the place where you trust more, where no matter what you see or what you don't see, you can count on the goodness of God, or you have faith, you have hope in the hopeless situation. And, you know, for me, I think that, and I think it's true of all of us, is that our faith grows normally through hard times, through hard circumstances, through storms, and through long suffering. And I want us to remember that it's actually, you know, through the blood, through the sweat, through the tears we were talking about last week, that your faith is actually giving its greatest opportunity to grow. Your character is given its greatest opportunity to become like Christ in all these situations. So they're not just situations that are happening to us. They're opportunities for us to grow and to become mature in everything that God wants us to have. So with that in mind, we're going to go to Mark chapter 4. We only have 6 verses here today, verses 35 through 41. And the message today, I don't know if you can see it, but it's called 7 Things to Remember in the Storm. So 7 Things to Remember in the Storm, coming from Mark chapter 4, starting with verse 35. And verse 35 starts out saying, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the wind and waves obey him. So here we have, you know, I think it goes without question that we're not only are we in a storm, we're in a prolonged storm, and we're in the same storm. This doesn't always happen. You know, there are storms that we go through individually, and maybe everybody else is having a wonderful time. But with this whole COVID thing and being as long as it has, it's affected us one way or another. It's affected our families. It's affected our workplaces. It's affected our neighbors. And so, you know, I know that so many people look forward to the new year, right? New things, new season. But I also see people struggling with depression because they're saying, well, here we are, another new year. This is the second new year now, and it's still the same storm. And so is anything going to change, right? I used to be the kind of person, like, depending on how my year kicked off, I would think it would determine the rest of my year, right? If it was 2 terrible weeks right out the bat, oh, great, this is going to be a horrible year. Or if it started off well, then, oh, great, it's going to be a wonderful year. But what I've learned is that's just not the case, right? And so what is God doing when he allows the storms? What is he doing when he's allowing the long suffering? And like I said, I do believe it's about growing us. And so just one of the 7 reminders here today is, in spite of your present situation, your difficulty, challenge, or trial, God is in control. In every storm that God causes or allows, he has a purpose and a plan. This is the important part. The most important part to remember is God is there, whether he's ordained this season himself or whether he's allowed it. You know, we have different examples in scripture where, you know, he sends Elijah to proclaim the drought of 7 years, something like that, versus, you know, the book of Exodus, when a new Pharaoh comes to power that doesn't know God and doesn't know Joseph and chooses to enslave the Israelites. Well, God didn't do that, but he did allow it. So whether God allows it or whether God himself institutes it, it doesn't matter, because he has a purpose and he has a plan. And so we have to remember that part. Now, once again, that plan doesn't necessarily mean it's an individual plan for each of us. As far as like some special goodness for you, it could be. But the special goodness for you is what he wants to do in your relationship with him and in your character and in your faith. And that's actually the second principle today, which is that in the midst of storms or prolonged suffering, our faith has its greatest opportunity to grow and mature. Now, here's the thing about it. It's a two-sided coin. It is our greatest opportunity for our faith to grow and mature and for our character to grow and mature. It's also the most dangerous time and where one's faith and one's character can crumble. That's the thing about this. It's a crucible. It's going to be what you make it to be. And so how do we know and how do we partner with God so that it grows instead of crumbles? It's the fact that our faith development and the development of our character into Christ-likeness is contingent upon our reaction to the storm or the long suffering. And this is where you see time and time again in the Bible, you know, we think about the heroes and the heroines and what they were able to endure. David being on the run for, you know, 13 years, Joseph losing 13 years of his life through all kinds of circumstances on his way to receiving his destiny. You have the Israelites being enslaved in Egypt. I mean, it's, you know, Jesus going through what he went through, Paul going through, everybody that's gone through all this. The reason they're able to accomplish such great feats through their faith is because God developed them one thing after another thing after another thing after another thing. And it builds that resilience. It builds that bond with God where they trust him no matter what. And so, you know, your attitude does matter. Your attitude matters in the storm. Your attitude matters in the long suffering. Whatever's coming out of your mouth is a product of what's in your heart, right? And so what we want to do is we don't want to condemn ourselves if it's not what it should be, but we want to recognize when, you know what, man, I'm full of a lot of negativity. I'm full of a lot of doom and gloom. You know, I am not being faithful right now, or I am not being hopeful right now. And we want to turn those things over to God. We want to recognize them for what they are, understanding that either we're investing in the growth of our faith, or we're actually investing in the destruction of our faith. And so we need to understand our attitude matters. What we're doing in the storm, what we're doing through the long suffering matters, because it's going to pay dividends one way or the other. It's either going to be good dividends for our faith or horrible dividends that are going to be attacking our faith more and more. And so this is part of that roller coaster ride that I talk about of faith. You know, you have the spiritual highs and then you have the valleys and the lows. Well, the valleys and the lows are oftentimes because we have lost perspective. We have lost the great ideas and the purposes. These are seven things to remember in the storm, but there's a little bit more to it than that. There's actually probably at least five purposes why God allows these things. That's not today's sermon. I'll probably get into it in a couple weeks. But anyways, do you understand that God is good even though you're going through the storm? Do you understand God is good even though he's sleeping on the boat? And we're going to get to that in a minute, right? A lot of us, when we're reaching out to God and we're calling out to God in desperation and we don't hear anything, or we definitely don't hear the answer we want to hear, we start to question his presence. We start to question his sovereignty. We start to question his omnipresence. Is he everywhere? Is he aware of my situation? Does he just not care about my situation? And so these things start to develop either good theology or bad theology. And whatever's being developed is going to affect us long term. So we have to be very careful and understand how we respond in the storm, how we respond in the long suffering is absolutely crucial to what's going to happen as a result of the storm. All right. So we're going to jump to principle 3. And here's the other fact. Usually God will not guide you around a storm. He will generally take you through it. Once again, the storm and the long suffering, they have purpose. There's a refining process. There's a molding process. There's a transformation that he wants to accomplish in you, which requires that you go through the storm. So don't see storms as freak things. Don't see it as something that is happening outside the will of God. It's because none of that is true. So he wants to take you through the storm because he wants you to learn not just one thing, but he wants you to learn many things that are going to prepare you for the future that's coming. I'm sure many of you have heard me say this so many times. I believe God is so good that he doesn't roll out our future 20 years from now to us, because we would be scared out of our minds if we saw what's coming down the road 20 years from now, because we're not ready for it. He's going to develop us over those next 20 years to handle that situation. But imagine not being equipped to handle it, but you're seeing the reality of it, right? One example of that is when he reveals to Joseph the dreams. You know, Joseph, everybody's going to bow down before Joseph. Joseph's going to be this great leader. Well, in spite of those dreams and how true Joseph knows them to be, he has to deal with this reality for the next 13 years, which is the complete opposite of what the dreams are, right? And there's a scripture in Psalm, I think it's the Psalm 129, where it talks about how the dreams that God gave Joseph tested his soul. They tormented his soul until they came true, because he knew what God said was true, yet everything he saw in life was the complete opposite of it, right? And so I say all this to say, there is a plan. God has a plan. You don't know the plan. I don't know the plan, but he has a plan, and there's things coming down the pipeline that he's getting you ready for, but we can't run from it. We can't work against it, meaning that, you know, we're getting angry with God and we're saying, you know, we're letting our faith weaken and die. We're supposed to be getting stronger in faith. We're supposed to be getting stronger in our bond with God so that he can carry us through those things and not only cause us to thrive, but also cause it to be for all the praise and all the glory and all the honor for God. And we get to be a part of that, right? So that's what the end goal is. Principle number 4, sometimes a good night's sleep demonstrates more faith in God than staying up all night praying. I'm taking this directly from the story where Jesus is sleeping in the middle of the storm, right? So number one, don't hear me say it's better to sleep than to pray. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if you're losing your mind, you're losing your peace, you're losing your sleep because you know you're so desperate in prayer, that sometimes that's not a good thing. I'm sure most of the time it's a good thing, but sometimes it's not. Because you're not willing to rest in the fact that the master's in control. And that's what I mean when I say sometimes a good night's sleep demonstrates more faith in God than staying up all night praying. Do you trust God to do the things that only he can do, that you have no control over, right? Do you understand that he's good by nature, not good because you're asking him for something? Am I making sense to you? So the world is going to keep spinning without us. And now this whole thing about Jesus sleeping, and he's sleeping on a cushion, meaning like he intentionally fell asleep. He wasn't so tired he passed out in the back of the boat. He's choosing to actually sleep during this time because he's resting in the Father. He's resting in knowing that everything's under control no matter what. But what happens is sometimes we develop a wrong theology about his sleep, where we develop the idea he must not care. It must not be important to him. You can catch him unawares. Well, none of that is correct. The reality is he is fully confident in God. You know, we know he's the second member of the Trinity, but he's fully confident in God to do what he has to do. And he knows he has the power to change reality, right? And so can you rest in that? Can you rest in God being all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present, and that he's working a good plan? And that is going to reveal something about us. And if we can't rest in that, you know, if we cannot rest in that, then there's some control issues going on there, right? Like, you know, when I got sick, and just like many of you, they got the virus, you know, there's not a lot I can do about it. You know, there was at least 3 days where I had literally zero energy to do anything. And so I slept, and I slept well because there's nothing for me to do. Yes, I can take my medicine. Yes, you know, but with a loss of appetite and, you know, all these things, man, I just took it for what it is. I didn't get angry about it. I didn't worry about the work that I'm not getting done. I didn't worry about how I'm going to be behind for 2 weeks. Man, I took it for what it is, right? The virus is definitely no gift whatsoever. However, I turned it into a gift. I turned it into a gift because I'm like, okay, I'm just going to rest. I'm just going to relax, and I'm going to trust God through all this. And so we can do that no matter what the situation is. That doesn't mean we don't have hard decisions to make. It doesn't mean we're not going to be working hard. But are you really resting in God doing the work, especially when it's something that only He can do? And so principle number 5, don't allow your emotions to overrule the truth of God's character and heart. You know, once again, when you see Jesus sleeping there, what does that teach you about God? You see the storm coming and you see that you're scared and you see all these things with your natural eyes, and you're triggered in your fears and you're triggered in your anger and you're triggered in your frustrations. Don't allow your emotions to overrule the truth of God's character and heart. He's still good, and He's just as good in the storm as He was when you were cruising, right? It's just that maybe we don't pay attention to those things. And now sometimes a storm, that's what it teaches us. So principle number 6 is having faith means trusting that God is who He says He is, and that God will take care of the things that only God can take care of, right? That's the other part. One thing about storms and long suffering is it builds reliance. It reminds us how small and how powerless we really are at the end of the day, and that there's things that only God can do that we're always relying upon. I mean, we just don't bother to understand it, or we don't take the time to think about it, right? The storm, and here's the thing, the storms of life remind us, oops, sorry about that. The storms of life remind us that when things are calm, they're not calm simply because they're calm. They're calm because God is the one who's been calming them, right? Like when we had good times, when we had peace, man, that was not just because that's the course of life and that's how things naturally unfold. We know that's the opposite of truth. Everything naturally bends towards chaos, not order, not peace, not joy. And so when we have those things, it's not by accident. It's God that is the one that's creating them. God is the one that's sustaining them. And so sometimes He allows us to go through storms and long suffering to remind us of this fact. Right? Like, man, you're taking a lot for granted. You know, you don't have anything to say when things are great, but you sure have a lot to say when things are bad. And that's part of that development where He has to switch in us. He has to provide us with opportunities to grow up and understand the reality, right? The reality is not that God's messing up when things are messed up, is that, you know, you didn't even take the time to think about how good He is when things were good. And so part of that growing up process is kind of like being a child and you have no bills, right? I always like how when teenagers, and I was guilty of it, as a teenager, I'm growing up and I'm working and I'm making my own money and I'm buying my own clothes and I buy my own car. And here I am thinking I'm so dependent. Well, guess what? I wasn't paying for groceries. I wasn't paying for rent. I wasn't paying for insurance, right? All these things that are just in my teenage mind are so limited. That's, I think, what God has to do with us a lot of times, right? Like, hold on, man, you may be taking care of business on some of these things, but there's a whole lot of things that God is doing day in, day out that you have no clue about. You have no power over any of it. And so sometimes they're an attention getter to wake us up and get us back on track to understanding just how good God really is. And so our last principle today, number 7, every storm you experience provides you with an opportunity to evaluate your faith, to grow in your faith, and to learn more about God, right? We talked about this last week, evaluating at the yearly level, but we don't want it only to be once a year, right? We want to evaluate appropriately through the storms. Man, what did I learn? How did I grow? And what did God change in me? And what did He teach me about Himself that I did not previously know? And these are the things, like I said, they can actually only happen through a storm. They can actually only happen through long suffering, because when things are good, how do you become more dependent on God? Right? If things are good, we actually, as human beings, tend to forget about God when things are good, right? Like I said, when everything's in its proper order and everything's going well, then, you know, yeah, we still say thank you to God, but we're not necessarily looking to get closer to him at those times. Maybe it's not even possible to necessarily get closer at those times. It's through the rough, you know, the rough courses of life, through the long suffering, through the storms, where we are given the greatest opportunities to grow. And they will, and you will know it, hopefully you will know it right at the end of the storm or in the middle of the storm. But if not, you'll know it down the line as God's taking you into deeper and deeper waters. And you're like, man, if you just think back 5 years ago or 10 years ago, I never would have been able to get through this. I never would have had the faith in God to be able to walk out of the boat for this. That's when you know you've grown. That's when you know you've come to learn about God in ways that can only be experienced, right? Like, that's the whole thing. There's no amount of reading that you're going to do in the Bible that is going to teach you this story as the same as you walking through it. The good part is, by knowing the stories, by reading them ahead of time, it gives you a context for when you live it. But just reading about it and never experiencing it, you can't learn the same lesson. Some things have to be experienced to be believed and to be understood and for you to receive the benefit of them. And so, you know, evaluate your faith, evaluate where you are. How have you grown? And if you're not growing, it's okay to realize that. But now you got to say, okay, I haven't grown through these experiences. By the way, if we don't grow through the experiences, we find ourselves locked into them repeatedly and cyclically. So if we're not learning what God wants us to learn, which we need for the next season of life, what ends up happening is we get caught up in this pattern of, man, we keep facing the same kind of problem over and over and over again, and we can't seem to break out of it. And the reality there is we're probably not learning what God wants us to learn. And until we do, he's not going to let us out of there, because unlike, you know what I mean? Like, you know, there's always this complaint for schools, you know, where there's some schools that they're going to pass children just to pass them because they want them out of the school and they want them to get through the system. That's not God's school of faith. God's school of faith is you're not moving to the next grade and you're not moving to the next level till you actually pass. So you could be a 50-year-old in the same second grade if you're not willing to learn the lesson that God's trying to teach you. And so make sure that we are learning and we're growing and we're passing so that we can get to the next level with God, which of course will have its own challenges. So just remember, these are just 7 things to remember in the storm. There's a lot more, but the storm is not something we need to hide from. It's not something that we need to be fearful of. It's actually a tool implemented by God to help us grow, to help his kingdom grow, and for him to accomplish his purposes here on earth. Amen.